Well, today, we're going to be addressing why pornography can be so dangerous for your marriage. I'm John Fuller, along with Greg Smalley and his wife, Erin, and they lead the Focus Marriage team. Erin, I'm sure that of the couples you see in your counseling practice, pornography is a frequent contributor to some of the challenges they're having. Why is porn harmful for a marriage?
It definitely is an issue that comes up regularly and frequently as I work with married couples. And I would say one of the biggest dangers is that whoever is using pornography, typically it's done in secret. So there's a component of hiding, which, you know, can build shame and guilt, as well as it can impact so many areas of the relationship, but most importantly, trust, that, you know, I can't be fully known to my spouse if I'm hiding things inside. And then my spouse finds out and they're wondering, like, how often is this happening and what's really going on? And often women will internalize porn used by their husband as, I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. So it's just being very cautious and aware that pornography is dangerous to you as an individual and to your relationship. It impacts the brain, impacts brain development. There's all kinds of research out there on that, secular and faith-based research. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just Christians going, this is bad. There's secular research out there showing that there is a negative impact on the individual and the relationship.
Yeah, and we're going to hear some stats in just a moment from our guests in this conversation that Focus President Jim Daly had with Dr. Michael Seitzma and Shanti Feldhahn as they talked about how porn negatively impacts a marriage.
Dr. Mike, let me ask you this. Pornography, I'm shocked at what research, Shanti, to your vocation, is saying. The number of people, both men and women, men to a higher degree, but it's a big number. I mean, one survey I saw, it was 68% roughly of men in the church that were using pornography. That, first off, that sounded high to me. I thought, man, is that really the number? But then, so let's ask that question, and then you could follow up just about the damage pornography does in marriage.
And some of it is we don't really know, because it depends on how you ask the question.
Sure.
You know, and how you define what pornography is. Some couples have a very rigid definition of pornography, and some have a broader. And that's part of the trouble we have in the field of researching it, is how do we define it? But I suspect that the number is at least that high, that there's some kind of regular consumption of it. You know, we stand at an altar and we say, forsaking all others, I cleave to you. I choose not to engage this part of my life with anybody else. And if that's been the covenant, then many times pornography is seen as a breach of that covenant. And it does great damage because it's a breach of what I expected. I thought you were only ever going to focus on me. You're only going to get your sexual fulfillment with me. And now that you're not, I feel betrayed. That's a legitimate sense of betrayal. And the couple needs to sort through what are the boundaries and what do we want to do. I think there's always the potential, in my personal view in the clinical experience of it, is bringing anybody into the relationship, be that fantasy, be that somebody that I run into regularly and I'm thinking about them, that I've engaged with somebody else, or it being in picture, has a potential to do great damage because I'm comparing, or because I am, because I'm thinking about somebody else and not you. God himself says, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me, before I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I want you to focus only on me. And I tell couples in my office that you have that desire from your spouse. I want to be the person that you look to. I think that is God reflective. The problem comes when your spouse is human, when they're drawn away, because James says, by our own desires, and I start to beat you up, or I believe something's wrong with me, because you're looking someplace else. That tends to have great damage that doesn't need to be in the relationship.
It also doesn't mean that people aren't human, and that they're going to be stimulated by stimulative sites.
Right.
And that is something, because, and this is going further into a different direction, but one of our other research projects, one of the things that the neuroscience has found is that the male and female brains are literally wired differently in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And that actually for the male brain, there is a center that is stimulated when they look at those sites. Mm-hmm. That in the female brain is not stimulated in the same way when they look at those sites. And the male brain, there's this like instant biological stimulation, and then they have to take that thought captive. And a lot of women have never experienced that little intrabrain war. And so they don't know it exists, and they can get so hurt because they assume the fact that there is an attraction means that there's something wrong with them. And that's not—
Or that you would choose that person.
Or you would choose that person. And it's never an excuse, but it's also really important, I think, for those of us who are women to recognize that there's something about this that we do need to work hard to be aware of, to have the knowledge so that we can understand whether there's a real issue or not.
Part of what I really focus in on the couples that I'm working with, though, is what is the vision for your marriage? If the vision for your marriage is one where we practice fidelity, we practice the boundary, and you are who I choose to focus on, how do we continue to pursue that with each other? And the times that you're drawn away, I know that's not who you want to be either, so there's enormous grace for it. We spend so much time talking about stop missing the mark, stop sinning, stop doing what God doesn't want us to do, that we lose track of what we're pursuing. Mm-hmm. And the idea is, how do I help this couple to truly richly pursue one another? Because as we, you know, the scriptural principle is we set our affection on Christ, then the things of earth just fall away. If I set my affection on you and I really lean into intimacy with you, it gets to where I'm really not attracted to something else. One of the husbands we worked a long time with, he said, I've learned to create a great steak dinner at home. So I come out of the office and the street vendor has got these, you know, street food that smells really good, but I really don't want it because I'm about to go home and make a steak dinner. And how do we help couples to get to where the sexual part of the relationship is so rich, so rewarding, they wouldn't want to threaten it?
Yeah.
That doesn't come from continually focusing on what you're doing wrong. It's focusing on what God is calling us
to. Yeah, and I just hope everybody understands that. We're not, certainly not espousing that you introduce pornography into your relationship.
Oh, definitely not.
And yeah. The point of it is that we concentrate on God's design and God's direction. And
for
I
the
love,
two of them.
Yeah, and I love what you just said, that the other things then fall away.
Well, Greg, this is really serious stuff, and here at Focus, we hear from so many couples that are dealing with pornography and its negative impacts. What are some practical first steps that someone can take toward freedom if they're finding themselves just kind of caught by porn?
Yeah, Aaron highlighted such a crucial first step in the intro, and that's really to create a no-secrets relationship. And as she talked about, I mean, pornography is mostly done in secrecy, in the dark, and something that is being hidden from a spouse. And so it's just a commitment to go, I'm going to do the 180-degree turn. I'm going to do that very differently. And that's to start being honest and to bring forth what's going on. And it's never an easy conversation. And actually, we'll put a link in the show notes to an article that Aaron and I wrote. Mm. Actually, Aaron wrote one on how to have that difficult conversation with your spouse to reveal a pornography.
Yeah.
And I give then some other tips. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really putting in practice Ephesians 5:13-14. That says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that has become visible is light. Therefore, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. It's just that really that commitment to go, I'm done hiding. Mm-hmm. And that is such an important first step. I think another big piece is to agree who's going to be involved in your healing journey. Mm-hmm. And so this is never intended to be done alone. I mean, this is a big enough issue that you need. If we're talking about the man, you need brothers who are going to surround you and help you walk through this and hold you accountable. If this is her issue. She needs her Christian sisters to walk with her. One of the things that Aaron and I really strongly believe in is your spouse should not be your accountability partner. Mm-hmm. And you have enough to do to rebuild trust and to work on your relationship. And if the thinking is that I've got to hold Aaron accountable, then that becomes my focus. And so then I've got to do that job and make sure she's not, you know, messing up. Yeah. And that's just the wrong role in this situation for a spouse. And that's why you've got to get a support team, mm-hmm. Mentors, pastors, counselors. I mean, really dig into that community. And then for the person who's used the pornography, really making that commitment to reclaim your sexual integrity. There was an old wedding vow line from, get this, so I dug deep here, John, okay, from the Book of Common Prayer, and this was published in 1594 by the Church of England. And in it, it's a great line that says, the groom places the ring on the bride's finger. He says, with this ring I thee wed, with my body I thee worship. And what I like about that is the word worship means an extravagant respect or admiration for or devotion to an object of esteem. So what you're doing is you're saying, how do I bring sexuality that has been perverted through pornography back into a state of worship? Mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm going to have an extravagant respect for and admiration for, and really reclaim that sexual integrity that's been lost through the use of porn. Wow. And so again, a lot to do. Those are some of the things that stand out. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we'll offer those articles as links in our show notes. Yeah. But man, go for it. Like you can reclaim, you know, what was lost, not only within your person, so your own integrity, but also within your marriage. Yeah. You guys can build something like you've never had before.
And I'll just add to that, the excellent little podcast that we have called No Porn Marriage.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you're very candid and transparent, and you offer a lot of hope. So if you're struggling with pornography in the marriage, look for No Porn Marriage by Focus on the Family, featuring Greg and Aaron. Of course, for follow-up on the topic of sexuality and marriage, we've got the book by Shanti Feldhahn and Dr. Michael Seitzma called Secrets of Sex and Marriage. Hit the show notes, learn more, donate as you can to get a copy of it, and reach out to us if we can be of any help to you in this area. Next time, we'll hear great insights about handling money as a couple. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and the entire team, thanks for joining us. I'm John Fuller, and this has been the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.